If what you're listening to is informative, fast-paced, controversial, cutting-edge, and always the absolute truth, you've probably found the Wonderful Grace radio broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all thy sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me.
And an excellent Sunday morning to each and every one of you. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly. We're located at 313 South Jefferson Street, right there in downtown Dayton, Ohio, across from the Singular Wireless store just south of the Convention Center. We're easy to find, easy to get to, and easy to attend every Sunday morning. At 10 o'clock, we have teaching for about 1 hour. Then at 11 o'clock, we have a preaching service, sing a few hymns, say a few prayers, hear a good sermon. And then again on Wednesday evening, we have about an hour's worth of Bible study, that beginning at 7 p.m. We're currently in the book of Galatians doing a verse-by-verse study, and oh, how interesting that is. All of those studies and everything that happens at the Master Builder Grace Assembly is posted on our website, www.wonderfulgrace.org. There you're going to find information about how you can attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly, either in person or via your computer on the internet. That's a neat thing. And you're also going to find over 200 hours of downloadable MP3 files and files that you can stream to your computer, audio files, audio teachings, complete studies, complete verse-by-verse studies of different books of the Bible. An absolutely tremendous amount of material contained on that website, and we're adding to that each and every week. Over 22 countries, people from all over the world have availed themselves of the audio studies on the Master Builder Grace Assembly's website, wonderfulgrace.org. And isn't that a great thing? A lot better than sending missionaries, much more cost effective, and we're able to hit 22 countries, not just some remote village in the back of the Amazon somewhere. So we take advantage of technology to the best of our ability and use it to spread the gospel of the grace of God, how that Christ died for our sins, that on the cross and through his sufficient payment, we trust what he did for us, and God saves our soul. Isn't that wonderful? I'll be back with you in just a couple minutes.
Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Wonderful name of Jesus. Magnify his holy name.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have that, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for ourselves.
When you are asked questions concerning what your church believes, do you sound like Miss Teen South Carolina? It doesn't have to be that way. You can understand your Bible. You can understand what God has been doing throughout the Bible and how you fit in. You can understand how a soul is saved and what gets a soul to heaven. You can understand how prayer works and why your prayers don't all seem to get answered. You can understand why God isn't making you speak in tongues and performing miraculous signs and wonders. Why do Christians still die from cancer, heart problems and strokes, still have diabetes, catch colds and get the flu? If God really is healing all the sick, why do you still need health insurance? You can understand why there is such confusion among so many Christians as to exactly what God is doing today, and why there are contradictions in your Bible. If God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and He is, then why isn't He still speaking in an audible voice that all believers can hear? You might be a believer in Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
I personally believe.
But is that the faith that really saves a soul today? You may think that you are unable to understand what God is saying in your Bible.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so.
You may think that God's perfectly preserved word has been lost or can only be found in extra biblical places.
South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as.
I'm here to tell you that God has perfectly preserved His Word in the English language, and it's contained in His Bible.
Such as, and?
The King James Authorized Bible, God's perfectly preserved Word, without so much as one mistake in it. And finding a church that believes that they have God's perfect Word is almost impossible. Almost every denominational statement of faith skirts the issue by saying that they believe that the original manuscripts were God's inspired Word. Too bad none of those originals still exist today, so theologians, preachers, and teachers are free to interpret what they think God was really saying as they use the Bible. Now that you know, there is a place that you can go where God's perfect Bible is understood, believed, and used. What excuse could you have for not attending the Master Builder Grace Assembly?
People out there in our nation don't have that.
You don't need a map to get to the Master Builder Grace Assembly. We're located in downtown Dayton at 313 South Jefferson Street in the IUE CWA Union Hall building, located just south of the Convention Center, right across the street from the Singular Wireless store. We're easy to get to from almost anywhere from all over the Miami Valley, and we are easy to find. At the Master Builder Grace Assembly, you will find a ministry active in bringing the message of God's sufficient grace to the Miami Valley and to the world.
South Africa and Iraq.
Yes, those places and many more all over the world are learning how to rightly divide the word of truth. That via the website, www.wonderfulgrace.org. There you will find information about attending the Master Builder Grace Assembly. Meeting times are Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for the teaching, 11 o'clock for the preaching service, and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., that for Bible study. You will find out how you can attend via the internet, and you will find over 150 hours of Bible believing, right dividing, mid-acts dispensational teaching that will get you well on your way to understanding what God has written in the Bible and exactly what is specifically for you today.
I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries so we will be able to build up our future for us.
I agree. Your Christianity will never make a real difference in your life or in the world until you are able to intelligently minister to others, telling them how to be saved and how to understand their Bible. Quit being a couch potato for Jesus and get involved for a change. I'll see you at the Master Builder Grace Assembly. And don't you know that when preachers talk about the devil, they like to use terms that are so ominous and devilish that just scare the daylights out of you. They go to verses that are powerful in their content, such as 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where it says to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We need to be dispensational in our understanding. It's not enough just to read your Bible. You need to, 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly divide the Bible and the word of truth, because Satan certainly does. He is very dispensational in his understanding. He's very dispensational in his activities. And being ignorant of Satan and the things that he is doing, well, it's just as bad as being ignorant of a politician. They're both going to try to get away with every bit as much as they can, as long as you don't pay attention to what they're doing. So we need to understand Satan, know what his plan and purpose is, and what he was doing in times past, what he'll be doing in the future, and even more important than that, what is the devil doing right now? We know, do we not, that Satan's plan will ultimately fail. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And then ultimately, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, we find that the pit, the hell, is going to be tossed into the lake of fire. So that's all very good news. We know that the good guys are going to win in the end. God's going to triumph. We're going to triumph as the body of Christ. But meanwhile, you cannot be ignorant of what Satan is doing. You need to understand what it is you're up against. The devil knows more scripture than you or I ever will, and yet, like the majority of people today, he does not believe the word of God. The devil was originally created as Lucifer. That's his name. And you're not going to find that in the NIV, the RSV, the FBI, the ABC, or any other version other than the King James Authorized Bible. That's the only way that you know that Lucifer was, in fact, the devil, or is the devil, as I might say. And certainly he was not created as an ignorant being. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Originally, Satan was the cherub that covered the very throne of God. In verse 14, we find that thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so, and thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So, at one time, Lucifer had direct contact there in the third heaven, right at there at the throne of God. But then the devil was also present back there in the Garden of Eden. And we're going to spend a little bit of time on that because it's very instructive, all the things that went on back there in Eden. He was beautiful. Satan was attractive. He was talented and smart. All the attributes that people venerate as being desirable today. Oh, I wish that I was attractive. I wish that I was smart and talented and all those things, but I guess I'll put up with what I have. Meanwhile, in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13, we do find out that thou hast been in the garden, in Eden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. So you see that Satan, in fact, was adorned very beautifully. Every woman in town would be extremely jealous of all the ornamentation that Satan had on him, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in the day that thou wast created. Satan, a musical being, very talented musically. There's another thing that I don't do very well, is sing. He was it. He was the man, the big kahuna, the head cheese when it came to created beings. We read in Ezekiel 28, verse 12, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now, in your Bible, Satan isn't always called the devil or Satan. Sometimes he's called by other names. You need to be a little discerning. And one of the things that he is called from time to time is the king of Tyrus, so that would not be a good thing. But the Lord God says, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou sealest up the sum. What an elegant way to say, you are the big guy, the head man on campus, as it might be. You see, Satan had it all. But something happened, and we find out that God will end up laying the devil lower than the proverbial snake's belly in a wheel rut. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 16, we find, by the multitudes of thy merchandise have they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Well, what was the cause of this rebellion? He had it all. He was beautiful. He could sing. He was adorned. He had position as the cherub that covered the very throne of God. What caused Satan to fall, to rebel against God? What was it made that he turned against God, and then, of course, God turned against him too? The devil has a heart condition. He has a heart problem. And we find that out in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. You see, it was vanity, it was pride, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. And God says, I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. He has the same problem many people today do, heart problems. Their heart is not in the right place. It doesn't have the right attitude to it. It hasn't been regenerated by the grace of God. Satan, we need to know, has put in place a 5-point plan that to take the place of Almighty God. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, here comes the 5 points, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. Here's the things that Satan would like to do. He says he will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Well, he wants to be like God. He knows he can't displace God. He can't get rid of God, but he wants to be like God. And wanting to be like the Most High is, in fact, wanting to be the ruler of all and worshipped by all. That's just nothing unusual. That's what most celebrities want from you. That's what most people would like to see, people worshipping them. And no different than people of the past and people right now, as a matter of fact. When we turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 22, Paul's giving a history lesson of the world, and we find that those folks back there were professing themselves to be wise, but they became fools by using their own wisdom rather than the wisdom of God, much like we find people today. Wherefore, verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Again, you see, the people have a heart problem. They to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, and they change the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Serving ourselves, making ourselves God by making our will and putting it above the will and understanding of God, using our own wisdom rather than relying on God's perfectly preserved Word, the Bible, for our instruction and wisdom. You see, we make the gospel whatever we want it to be, the plan of salvation, whatever we feel is fair. If God doesn't answer our prayers, well, we'll just do whatever we want to do and forget about God. He's not all that fair anyway. You need to understand that the devil is a liar. He's a deceiver and a counterfeit. You've seen, maybe just on TV programs, but counterfeit money. It looks like the real thing. It feels like the real thing. Sometimes it'll even spend like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. It's a counterfeit. And here is the reason why it's so vital to understand that throughout the dispensations of the Bible, God works in various ways. That's Hebrews chapter 1:1. And Satan, as a copycat, imitates God during those different dispensations. So whatever God's doing, Satan imitates that. And Satan then hopes that you will worship him, maybe even not knowing that you're giving your worship to Satan. Maybe you think that you're honoring God, but in fact, Satan's up there laughing at you, thinking, I've got that guy fooled. In John chapter 8, verse 44, the Lord Jesus Christ tells the scribes and Pharisees that ye are of the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So when he shows up in the garden, when the devil shows up in the garden, Satan didn't walk around like the first Peter, roaring lion, but rather was very subtle in his ways. He used subtlety to deceive Eve, and we find that out in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, the first thing, if you notice, is that Satan comes out with a positive statement. He says, Yes, hath God said. That's very positive. Who would ever doubt anybody when they start a sentence like this? God has said, Yes, and this is what we should do. And that's what Satan did, a very subtle imitation, a very subtle perversion of God's instruction to Adam and Eve. Were you able to spot what the devil did there exactly? He used the very commandment of God to Adam and Eve to deceive. The devil starts with that, Yea, hath God said, and then says, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That's not the command. God's real command was found in Genesis 2:16. The Lord God commanded, said, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Not that you can't eat of them all. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou surely shalt die. So God's instruction to Adam and Eve were very specific. You can eat of any tree you find except for this one. God's instruction today to us is also very specific. It's not believe in anything you want to believe in. It's not do anything you want to do. It is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe in the death, burial, and resurrection as full and complete payment for all of your sins, that and that alone. God's instruction is clear, and God's instruction is specific, and anything more or anything less is a wrong thing, as we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, because the woman then compounds the error of Satan. She gets right into the program, and the woman says unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, Eve just added to the command of God, saying, You can't touch the trees in the midst of the garden. The other problem is, wait a minute, Eve, God never said anything about not touching any of the trees in the garden. Plus, he didn't say all the trees in the midst of the garden were excluded because there was this thing called the tree of life, Genesis 2:9. That in the midst of the garden also, that was the plan of salvation for Adam and Eve. And so Eve is now excluding partaking of the tree of life, which is their plan of salvation, by saying we cannot eat of any of the trees in the midst of the garden. Do you see how that works? It's a subtle deception. It sounds right, but it's wrong. Of course, then after the truths and the half-truths that the devil preached to Eve, she became persuaded that God's truth was not the only truth, but rather, truth is in the eye of the beholder. You believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and you know how it goes. So at this point, even outright lies start making sense to Eve. Because in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. And that was not what was going to happen at all. Here comes the real enticement. The devil puts out the carrot and the stick, and Eve goes for it. And the real enticement is being able to tell God exactly where he can stick his words, isn't it? Where he can take his commandments and put them. Well, you're no different than Adam and Eve. Because in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, God doth surely know, says the devil to Eve, that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Ooh, we can be just like God, just like the Most High. Isn't that Satan's plan? And after all, if the fruit of the garden, if the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Eve saw was good for food, then what can be wrong with that? You see, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, so they sinned. They did a wrong thing. It looked good, it tasted good. Ooh, it's food. Wouldn't that be a right thing to do? After all, what's wrong with doing good things, with doing things that sound like they're going to be good for other people, even saving the planet. You know, the National Association of Evangelicals have made global warming their number one priority. Rather than seeing souls saved and saints edified, as we're told to do in 1 Timothy 2:4 by God himself, what's wrong with spending all our time feeding Africa, protesting abortion, saving stranded polar bears, and building houses for the homeless? None of those things are intrinsically bad, but it's not the instruction that we're given, and it's not the things that we need to spend our time doing. Time is short. There's only so many days before the person dies, and if they have not gotten saved, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. We need to get the message of the gospel of the grace of God to lost souls rather than trying to rescue polar bears. Makes some sense, does it not? But the events of the garden, they are instructive on a number of different levels, and one of them would be that men are to be the head and spiritual leader of the household, just as Christ is the head of the body of Christ. And where was Adam when the devil was deceiving Eve? You see, men should be attending church with their wives, conducting Bible studies at home with their wives, and being the spiritual leader of the home and of the children so that they can approve of the things that are being taught, making sure that there is no deception coming from the pulpit. But Adam was nowhere to be found. Where are you to be found when your wife goes off to church? You see, the same thing that happened back there in the garden, the same things are happening today, even in the church house, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, we read that there's a dispensational change in the way Satan conducts himself. Now, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, which appears as a good thing, does it not? Almost like feeding Africa. Almost as good as protesting abortions, saving polar bears, building houses for the poor, doing all those nice things for all those nice people that need so much and we have so much and we don't want to feel guilty anymore, so we're going to do these things. But you're not saving a soul. You're not following God's instruction. See souls saved. Give out the gospel. Satan would have you to be busy doing all kinds of things other than that which God would like you to do. Therefore, verse 15, it is no great thing if Satan's ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They're not going to tell you to go out and preach satanic doctrines and have light candles sacrificed animals on the sidewalk. No. The satanic gospel will name the name of Jesus. It'll point to the cross, but then it'll add more things to it, nullifying, voiding the cross of Christ. You see, being an angel of light, as Satan is today, is a counterfeit of the ministry of the gospel of the grace of God. We are ministers, we're ambassadors, we are to be evangelists, 2 Timothy 4:5. If you've ever, you take the piece of paper and write down the word evangelist, you'll see the word angel in that. And angels are messengers. We are to be messengers for God. Churches everywhere today can be found engaging themselves in very worldly activities. They're trying to attract new people, trying to be seeker-friendly. Why, in Saturday's paper, there was an article about a church that now plays rock and roll music, Megadeth, and Foo Fighters. God could care less about Foo Fighters. He wants you to see souls saved. He wants you to see saints edified. Well, this roaring lion of 1 Peter chapter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Again, another dispensational change out there in the future, out there in the tribulation, because when the Lord, Joel 3:16, shall roar out of Zion, when he, Revelation 5:5, shall be the lion of the tribe of Judah, Satan will once again try to counterfeit and imitate the very God of the universe. My name, Mark Mumon, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, encouraging you to be dispensational, not to be ignorant of your Bible, but to know what's going on. Meet us this Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for teaching, 11 o'clock for the preaching service, every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Bible study. Make sure you check out the website. You won't be sorry. www.wonderfulgrace.org. I thank you so very much for listening.
All sufficient grace for even me,
for even me.
Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus, wonderful name of Jesus.